Oh, hey, I'm trying not to cry. It is such a joy to see you and to worship in the sanctuary with you this morning. And I am deeply grateful to Jim Raver and Melanie Paulson and our staff and all of the hard work that they have put in to making this possible, to our reopening task force that's advised us and helped us to see ways that we can do this in a way that protects our health and allows us to be together in the house of God and to worship. So I am grateful and filled with joy to share this time of worship with you. My understanding is that we're not live streaming, but that this service will be recorded and available later. So I want to take a moment to greet those who will be worshiping with us at a later time. But it is just a joy to be with you this morning. And as we begin our worship together, I have a few announcements to share, as I usually do. I hope that if you didn't already, that you will go back and watch the live stream recording of our 8:45 service. Reverend Dr. Emily Towns was our preacher at 8:45. She's the dean of the Vanderbilt Divinity School, and we had arranged 18 months ago for her to be with us on September 20th. And who knew that this would be the situation we would be in? But she offered us a powerful word this morning. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, we'll have our service of Teze worship, which will be live stream only, and we've got quite a gathering, quite a following of that service now that we are available and accessible in more ways. So we hope that if you feel led, you'll take that opportunity for contemplation and prayer at 5 o'clock. We still have some spots open for our Habitat Build, which is September 27th, no, 26th and October 10th. And Habitat's doing a great job of making sure that everybody will be safe and masked and socially distanced. But that's a good way to get out and hammer a nail and do some good for some folks in our community. And then on September 27th at 4 o'clock, we'll have our first of several monthly digital concerts broadcast from the sanctuary. And on the 27th, the Elliston Trio will be playing, and that will be at 4 o'clock. And you can join us live stream for that as well. So just a few further instructions as we gather for worship for the first time. We will all be wearing our masks the whole time, even while we're singing, except for those of us who are preaching or leading prayers. But then we'll put them right back on when our parts are finished. We will be passing the peace, but unfortunately we can't shake hands or hug like we normally would. But make sure and wave to one another or bow to one another, whatever feels genuine to you, passing the peace to each other in the sanctuary this morning. At the end of the service, Brandon and I are going to exit during the voluntary so that we can be out on the West Lawn to greet you and spend a little time in conversation if you would like that. I know most of you are going to want to stay and listen to the closing voluntary of the organ, and we hope that you'll do that. When it comes time to exit, we're going to start from the back so that those of you sitting in the back will exit first. If you're closest to the center aisle, you can go that way. If you're closest to the side aisle, you can go out that way. Several options as we exit. And finally, I just want to say that our hearts don't wear masks. And so even though we have masks on our faces, we can sing with full hearts. We can pray with full hearts. We can pass the peace to one another with hearts full of God's love. So I feel your love. I hope you feel our love. And I know that God feels our love. Let us join all of that love, all of that joy, and all of that hope together in this time of worship.
Thank you. Come, let us gather with the people of God. Come, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. Come, let us worship the living God. Because of Jesus' great love for us, we can approach God with confidence and trust in God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us join together in the prayer of confession. God of hope, we confess this morning that we often fail to see and imagine the world as you do. We long for things we cannot see, and we miss injustice and the needs of others right in front of us. We feel hopeless from the tragedy and pain we see in the world, and we overlook the ways you are already making all things new. Too often, we do nothing when we should take action, and we remain silent when we should speak. Too often, we put our trust in wrong places instead of trusting you. Forgive us, Lord. Restore our confidence in you. Let us provoke one another to love and to good deeds. Let us share with those in need and work to make sure that everyone has enough. Give us endurance to do your will and to persist in hope. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Peace.
It is good to be home. As Pastor Carol said, she was feeling the emotions of our presence. Well, we're feeling the emotions of our presence as well. And thanks to all. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's lesson is from the Hebrews book, and we start at chapter 10, verse 32. But recall those early days when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and persecution, and sometimes being partners with those similarly treated. For you had compassion for those who were in prison, and you cheerfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing you possess something better and more lasting. Do not therefore abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward, for you need endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And that is, in a very little while, the one who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back and are lost. We are among those who have faith and so are saved. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that when what is seen was made from things that are not visible. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to take a special moment to talk to the children who are here, although I've had some grown-ups tell me they get more out of the children's sermon than the other part of the sermon, so maybe it will be helpful for all of us. When I was little, my family used to take vacations, and usually when we took vacations, they were somewhere in the state of Tennessee. We would drive to Pickwick Landing State Park or Center Hill Lake, someplace that was within a two-hour drive or so. But I remember one time when I was about 9 years old, my parents said they were going to take us to the beach and that it was going to be a 12-hour drive. I was not used to being in the car that long. So we got in the car, and probably after an hour, I started asking my parents, "Are we there yet?" I'm sure many of you have done that before. It just seemed like forever, and I was in the back of the station wagon trying to entertain myself. It just went on and on and on, and I thought, we were never going to get there. But you know what? Eventually, after I'd taken a nap, and after we'd stopped for food, and after I gave up asking, "Are we there yet?" we finally arrived. And the ocean was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life. I really just needed to trust my parents that they really were taking us someplace beautiful. And if I could be patient and hang on, we would get there, even if it seemed like it took forever. That's kind of what hope is all about. This letter that we've just heard was to a group of people who were getting really tired, and they weren't feeling very hopeful. They felt like God had promised them the world was going to be beautiful and perfect one day, and they just weren't there yet, and they just were getting tired. And sometimes we get tired too, but we have to have hope that God really is taking us somewhere beautiful, and we can trust in God's promises. Let's pray. Loving God, sometimes we get tired and impatient, and we even lose hope that we will get where you are taking us. But help us to trust you. Help us even to be able to rest, and help us truly believe in the beautiful place, the beautiful destination that you're taking us to, and all of your world. Thank you for letting us be along for the ride. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. I imagine that most of you have been in a Zoom meeting sometime over the past 6 months. Yeah. In one of the early Zoom meetings that I was part of, it was really beginning to sink in that this pandemic was going to last for a while. And the person who was facilitating the meeting just happened to be our bishop, Bishop Bill McAlilly, ask the question, what's giving you hope right now? And he invited each of us that was participating in the meeting to share something that was giving us hope. And that question has really stayed with me, and it's one I have been using when I've been facilitating meetings from time to time throughout this pandemic. What's giving you hope right now? We are in a season when we need that little word, hope, more than ever. This letter to the Hebrews that Frank read for us this morning, live and in person, was written to a congregation that was losing hope. We don't know who they were. We don't know where this congregation was located. The word to the Hebrews was added later, so we don't even know if they were Jewish Christians or anything about them. But Reverend Tom Long, in his commentary on this letter, says the one thing we do know about them is that they are exhausted. They have been fighting the good fight for many years now. They have been out living the gospel of Jesus Christ in a world dominated by empire. They have had the courage to say Jesus is Lord in a world that wanted them to say Caesar is Lord. They have been living by the creed that in Christ Jesus there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female. They were creating a beloved community where all were created in the image of God, and they were doing that underneath an empire that was heavily armed and well-funded. They had been radically sharing their possessions with one another. They had dared to gather for worship and sing and praise Jesus Christ as Lord. They had, some of them, been persecuted in public. Some of them had been dragged into prisons. They had stood in solidarity with brothers and sisters who'd been thrown in prison. They'd been doing this work and doing this work and doing this work. And they had been told that Jesus was coming any day. They had this conviction, certainly early on in their life together as a church, that Jesus was coming back, most likely in a few years. And so this was a sprint to live out the gospel until Jesus came back. But then the years passed, and some of those first generation believers had died. And they were beginning to wonder, what is this all about? Is this really a sprint or is it a marathon? And the writer of Hebrews even uses imagery like your knees are buckling and your hands are sagging. They were tired. And so the writer of this, well, it's not really a letter. Most scholars say it's more of a sermon. The writer himself calls it a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement, a word of encouragement. Writes to them. He knows them already. We can tell from things he says in the letter. He's been with them before, and he's planning to come back. So he knows these people, and he says to them, do not lose hope. This whole sermon to the Hebrews is to give them hope and to re-bolden them for the work of the gospel. I would encourage you, if you've never read the sermon to the Hebrews, to go home and read it. It's some pretty heavy theology, but it is a word of encouragement and hope. But for our purposes this morning, I just want to share a few things that I hear in this sermon that I myself need to hear. And maybe we all need to hear. One of the main things he does in this sermon is to proclaim and to remind the people what Jesus Christ has already accomplished, what God has already done in Jesus. And he uses the imagery of Jesus as the high priest going into the Holy of Holies and making the final, ultimate sacrifice of himself that makes all things right. In other words, God's already won the race. We already know what's at the finish line. Love wins. Despite all evidence to the contrary, when the empire and the forces of evil and oppression seem to be getting their way in the world, we know how it ends. So keep hope alive. Keep running the race. It's already been won through Jesus Christ. And then he reminds them of how they have experienced the power of Christ in their own lives. Remember, he says, remember how willingly you let yourself be persecuted, how willingly you gave away your possessions, how fervent you were for this good news of the gospel in the early days. Don't lose that zeal and that fervor. Let me remind you of what it's all about. And then in the text that comes right after these words that we've heard, he starts reminding them of their ancestors in the faith. Dr. Ellsworth Callis calls these the balcony people. The people who've gone before us, who are in the balcony, cheering us on and cheering us forward to keep running the race. Remember Abraham and Sarah, he says? They were beyond childbearing years, and yet they trusted God. They had faith, and they had a son. Remember how Abraham went willingly to a land he'd never seen before because he trusted God. Remember Moses, who led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and led them for 40 years wandering in the wilderness when they wanted to go back to the way things were, when they complained and whined because the road was so long. And yet he trusted God and kept putting one foot in front of the other. And you know, Moses didn't get to the promised land. He got them up to the border, and then his journey ended. He's reminding the people that it's not a sprint. It's not even a marathon. It's a relay race. And Moses handed the baton on to Joshua. And those who came before us, our balcony people, handed the baton on to us. I know that we're tired. I'm tired. And I imagine you're tired too. We're tired of this pandemic and all of the change it has brought in our lives. But even deeper than that, living out the gospel in this day and age, in any day and age, is tiring and exhausting. To proclaim that Jesus is Lord in a world that recognizes lots of other gods that are not Jesus is exhausting. I know that many of you have dedicated years of ministry and life and prayer and energy to ending poverty in our community, to putting a dent in homelessness in our community, and yet sometimes it seems the problem's just getting worse and worse. Some of you have dedicated time and energy in your ministry to helping every child in our community get a good education. And yet it seems like we haven't made the progress that we should. Some of you have worked really hard to provide health care to everybody. This church started the Interfaith Dental Clinic, and many of you are involved in Faith Family Clinic and other efforts that are trying to get health care to the poorest of the poor. And yet, the numbers keep growing of those who don't have access. And we've seen the numbers affected by the pandemic and how people of color and people living in poverty are suffering the most. And it can be discouraging, and our knees can sag, and many of you have worked. I know some of our members were really active in the civil rights movement way back in the 60s. Some of you even went to jail with James Lawson. And yet to see where we are today, and we haven't come as far as we would like to be. And it's easy to get discouraged and lose hope. But we hear this word from some preacher way back 2,000 years ago. We don't even know who he was. Encouraging us to lift up our sagging knees, stand up straight, run fast, run with perseverance and endurance the race that is set before us. Because there are generations behind us up in the balcony watching. They've handed us the baton. And we may not see that day fulfilled in our own lifetime. But we can run as fast as we can to pass the baton of the gospel of Jesus Christ forward to the next generation that follows us. And we can hold fast to that hope that that day is coming. The day when Christ returns and all is made right. That day that Isaiah talked about, when the wolf shall lie down with the lamb and a little child shall lead them. That day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation. That day when every tear shall be dry. Death and crying and disease and pain will be no more. That is our hope. We are called to place our faith in a God who is taking us toward that day. The Apostle Paul said, "Now faith, hope, and love abide. These three." And there's nothing I like preaching about more than love. But today, I want to remember faith and hope. Thanks be to God.
As a people of hope, of faith, of strength, of endurance, now I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join your voices together as we proclaim the faith that we share. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers this morning. If you would like to share them with us today, we invite you to, as you are able, to get onto our website and share those prayers with us. There's a place under the Contact Us link on our website, and you can find a place to submit prayers. And you can submit those now in your pews or later when you get home. And your pastors continue to pray for this congregation and each of you every week, every Monday afternoon. Prepare us now, loving God, for our time of prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of the ages, we have waited so long for this moment. For 6 long months, we wondered when if ever this year we would gather in this holy space to worship again. And now that we're finally here, it is not as it once was. It is strange. It is different. Nevertheless, we are here and we are thankful. Lord, make us a people of perseverance. We pray that you would remind us of the many ways you have been present to us in the past, the ways you have worked through this church, these people, and this community of love and hope and faith. We pray that you would open our hearts to notice the ways you have been present in these difficult days of waiting for a return to some semblance of normalcy and peace. We ask that you would strengthen us for the task of the deepest, truest faith, having confidence in hope and assurance in what we do not yet see. Gracious and holy triune God, we boldly pray in confidence and assurance that you are indeed at work among us, guiding us and our world into a more hopeful future that we do not yet see. In this intervening time, we live by faith and faith alone. We offer ourselves, our loved ones, our friends, our community, and our world to your renewing power. We trust that you can still create beauty out of what has yet to be seen. Holy Redeemer, we pray most especially today for those many members of this body of Christ at West End United Methodist who are not able to be with us yet in worship. We know it will be some time yet before we all gather in this space again as one. Yet we trust that your Spirit continues to move among us, connecting us in ways even beyond our comprehension, holding us in union until the new day dawns. We pray all these things as we lift our personal prayers and petitions to you in a time of silent prayer. And now, as those who fully rely on your restoring presence, we join our voices together to pray as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you now at this time to consider giving your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. We will not be passing the plate as we normally would, but we will have ways that you can continue to give online, and then also you may deposit gifts later. I think there are boxes in the narthex as well, and the ushers can help you find those on your way out if you wish to give a gift here today. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. For we know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
that the benediction is the final therefore, what's all this about? Therefore, and the writer of Hebrews gives us the most powerful therefore I've ever heard. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those who've gone before us, our balcony people, those who are with us even though they're not in the sanctuary today, this cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Amen.